Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us on Another Money Show. We're so glad you're with us. Happy Saturday. Today, as usual, we're going to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Thank you very much, Joe, on another Salem station for bringing that to us. So basically, today you may want to grab a cocktail. Today, I think Anthony is raging. I think Anthony is going to come out of his shell. I think usually when we play good rep, bad rep, I get the role of bad rep and Anthony gets good rep. Today, we're going to switch roles. Today, I'm going to be real mellow and calm, and Anthony's going to go off the rails. Right, Anthony?
Well, because I've got my cocktail started, so I'm ready.
And for those of you that don't know already, we do record this on Tuesday mornings, and it airs on Saturday afternoons. So the fact that Anthony is into cocktail hour on a Tuesday morning should not be surprising to any of us. But yeah,
there
we are.
It's a breakfast cocktail. It's a thing.
Yeah, breakfast beers. Isn't that you that
weekend breakfast beers? I do love a good weekend breakfast beer, that's for sure.
Okay. And that has to do what with money? Oh, you're feeding the economy. You're not drinking beer because you want to.
Exactly. I am supporting local businesses.
I think that's really good. So let's get into it. We need to, as we used to call it, kegs and eggs. Sam chimes in with something timely. Kegs and eggs. I like that. So we need to, as usual, we have to talk about the 10 pillars. We have to remind you what they are. You know, I'm really looking forward to the day that we can have this be a regular, you know, we're going to have to change the name. You know, there's a little bit of sarcasm behind Another Money Show. We are anything but Another Money Show. You know, I do listen to a bunch of different money shows over the weekend, and I think this show is pretty different. We're actually sounding alarms. We feel like we have this platform for a reason, and we're going to use it. I would consider myself a realist, not an optimist, not a pessimist. And I will tell you, short term, I am extremely pessimistic. Long term, I am not. I mean, I think this nation is an amazing story. I think we are a shining beacon for the world. I do think that, I know right now Anthony is rolling his eyes. He just spilled his breakfast beer. He's like, oh, come on. But I mean, you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, if you're my age and you have grandkids, we have to be optimistic for their future. I mean, it can't end here. So, you know, if we wind up all throwing rocks at each other, this is not good. So, but we have so much to get through. And I really, when I say I'm short-term pessimistic, that's because of the 10 pillars. That's because of the things we have to watch and, you know, we have to navigate around. But I'm really hopeful that, you know, let's say January of 2023, you know, we get through the virus and the monkeypox and we get back to where things are somewhat normal. You know, in January of 2023, we'll change the name of the show and we will talk about how to invest and age-based appropriate investing and saving you money and budgeting and debt management. We'll talk about all that financial stuff. Is that fair enough? I mean, I know that this comes off very negative, very doom and gloom. There is a reason. We want you prepared, not scared. I say that. I think I say that every show. We want to make sure you know what's coming. You react to it properly. We get through it and then we'll move on.
January of 2023, though, you think everything's going to get fixed?
Oh, like a light switch. I think we're going to wake up. All the New Year's resolutions are going to be on how to lose weight and budget and all the normal stuff again. Yep. We're going to get through gas prices and food shortages and we're going to get through so much. The World Economic Forum. Did anybody get a chance to research the World Economic Forum? I mean, they're talking about the whole world being a little bit different coming up here. So let's let the world do that. Do your thing, but leave this country alone. Why don't we stay independent? Why don't we remain the world's police? Why don't we do certain things and kind of avoid, you know, being a part of a bigger picture? You know, a part of what I read, another thing to watch out for, I'm being educated on the World Health Organization kind of pulling some strings for this country. That scares me. I mean, I'm some of the unknown, and I granted a lot of this goes into conspiracy theory thinking, you know, agenda and new world orders. Well, there's a lot of reasons that that's not so crazy. You know, we can't really dig into those on here. I mean, it's, you know, our thing, we have to keep this financially based. So that's what we try to do. But you do have to understand everything ties into each other. You know, Anthony, when you talk about social media, how does it tie into finances? And I know you said you want to do a segment on social media. We have to map that out. We have to talk about what our points are going to be and convey that stuff. But yeah, I think.
I was going to say, I started to do some research this weekend, and there's actually, I found a scientific paper. These four guys, it looks like, from a few different countries, but basically it was a direct correlation between market movement and Trump tweets. And I feel like we can find that from Elon Musk too, but you know, there's a ton of articles out there. I want to do a lot more research, but I thought it was funny. And the research that I was doing to find a science paper on that.
You know, what's funny, yourself, I have a little research from you. You were in the office, this is about 2 years ago, and the market was doing something, and then it changed instantly. And the first thing out of your mouth was, who tweeted what? I'll never forget that. You're like, who tweeted what? How did the market switch gears and go from so negative to so positive at the end of the day? Somebody made a tweet and the market moved. Yeah, and that does happen. In the little correction, 2008, I remember I have a client named Randy. And we used to talk a lot. It was like every time we talked, it seemed like the next day was a bad day. So we laughed about that. We're like, we need to stop talking. But one thing that we both agreed upon was there's no reason to watch any of the financial markets until the last half hour. Like whatever happens in the morning, you know, I always watch futures. I every night I look at what Japan's doing. And we agreed that the last half an hour of our markets are the only time to watch, or it'll just drive you nuts.
I remember you telling me that. We did the same in, was it December, the fourth 18. Quarter of 2018. Yeah.
Yep.
I remember
yep.
you telling me that.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely a correlation to what people are feeling, seeing. And it's funny because, you know, the financial markets, they're supposed to be legitimate. I mean, they're supposed to be a free market. We're a capitalistic country. Got a couple questions for you. You know, if you haven't heard of it, you need to look up the Plunge Team. If the market goes up 10%, it just goes up. Nobody stops it. If the market goes down 10%, they stop it. They put on the brakes. They do that. I don't remember the details. I used to watch that closer. It's a form of manipulation. If the S&P 500 goes down, I don't know what it was, like 7%, they stop trading. They do that like three times. They'll stop trading. If it happens a fourth time, I believe it is, they stop for the day. So how's that a free market if you can stop it from the downside, but not from the upside? You know,
well, that's not true anymore, because we used to say that, but now they stop the upside, but only if it's GameStop or AMC.
Ah, yes. Yes. Only, yeah. Well, that's a little different, Janet Yellen. I know Janet's listening. Janet, we're talking to you. I don't want to get sued over this. Is that, I don't know which one it is. Is it slander or defamation of character? I never remember which one I'm going to get sued for. I guess we'll see. So another thing that makes the markets a little bit not manipulated in this way, but what other machine, what other mechanism, every single Friday in this country, there's a huge influx of cash into it. People that get paid biweekly, bimonthly, whatever, every Friday, you know, you're taking money out of your 401k and putting it into your target date funds and into your short-term bond funds. That's pumping up a system. You see what I'm saying? Somebody's buying, their dollar cost averaging every single Friday. There's a huge amount of money going into these markets, whether they're legitimate or not, you know, whether they're up or down, it doesn't matter. There's money going into them. That helps sustain. You know, we have brought up the Dow Jones Industrial Average. A lot of people still don't know that's only 30 companies. You know, talk about easy to manipulate. I mean, the Dow Jones.
Especially if you drop them. I think that one's the biggest surprise to people. Not only is it just 30 companies, but if it doesn't perform, they drop it. So how do you use something like a benchmark if you're constantly fluctuating it?
Right. No, that's why I've always felt you should use the Russell, the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Dow, make them all weighted averages. You know, at least you get a little more shot at legitimacy. So anyway, so we have so much to get to today. We're going to talk a little bit, you know, the hot buttons, you know, the gas prices, that's a big one. We're going into summer travel season. You know, it's what's going to happen later this summer. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We've got a lot to do. Anthony, anything you want in particular to get done today?
No, just a nap. I think that's where my head's at. Is that now, you know, talking about the summer traveling and that snippet we're going to listen to leading into our second segment says something that, you know, JR, I don't know if you caught this, but it's something you bring up all the time, but basically saying massive gas prices right now, you know, they're not good, but they're not changing people's summer plans and traveling. You know, you've been saying this all the time, you know, things are weird now. They're not good. They're getting worse, but people aren't affected. People don't feel it yet. You know, $5, $6 gas prices sucks, but people are dealing with it. It's not enough to stir up trouble yet.
Right. Yeah. I mean, last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, you know, Sandy and I did travel and it was amazing. It was like so much traffic. I'm like, $5, that's not it yet. And I did hear this morning that the average gas price now is $4.62. You know, Arizona, we're over five. I know in the Valley, it's like $5.30 now. Interesting enough, up in the White Mountains, we were up in Snowflake, Arizona. The gas prices were 40 to 60 cents less than what we pay down here, which surprised me because, I mean, it's harder to get there. So I was kind of, you know.
Is that over at the country store?
The country store, plug to the country store. We're looking for sponsors. We're always looking for people to support us. So the country store, yes, they were right in the range of downtown Snowflake, but these gas stations up there, they're like $4.40 to $4.50. And down here, I know Sam's Club by me now is at $5. I think it was at $5.20.
Really? Sam's Club? I mean, that's like QT prices.
No, it's moved up. Yeah. Well, in QT, I mean, they finally poked through the $5, you know, before we left, it was 4.99 and now it's over five.
And so Sam's, you have to start waiting in line, today, if you want to get there tomorrow.
Oh yeah. I always kind of think that it defeats, I mean, if you're sitting there for 17 minutes, which was my last experience to get gas, I mean, how much did I use? You know, what are you supposed to do? Shut off the car
and then turn off and push it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I need a Flintstone.
We're not driving the Raptor as much anymore, so it'll be easier to push the car.
Right? Absolutely. Well, why don't we do this? Because I'm excited to talk about gas prices. And so let's take a break.
I'm excited.
Isn't that sad when my life is exciting because I'm about to talk about gas prices? So let's take a break. Make sure you find us at www.anothermoneyshow.com or email us. We love your questions. We're going to get to a question later. I got a question from a listener. So you can also reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks again for joining us.
Just in time for summer travel season, gas prices are at or near record highs across the country. I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. Now that we're hopefully seeing the light at the end of the pandemic tunnel, travel numbers are expected to get back close to pre-COVID levels. No doubt it feels good to get out of town, but that increase in travel means a big jump in demand for gas.
Gas demand typically starts to increase because as the weather breaks, you have drivers who take to the roads.
That's AAA spokesperson Devin Gladden. He says the price surge is not holding people back from their travel plans.
Given travel demand has been a lot lower over the past 2 years due to the pandemic, travelers are expected to travel more this summer just to make up for lost travel time. So that is going to likely cause prices to increase further as demand increases this summer.
And it looks like the high prices will stick around for a while.
Crude prices will still lead the day. And as long as they remain volatile, gas prices will remain elevated. It really will depend on where oil prices land this fall. And there certainly has been an increase in domestic production. And we'll see how that factors into global crude supply and demand.
But what can you do to save money when traveling by car? Well, Devin has these suggestions.
If folks are on the highways for trips, it certainly helps to remain within the speed limit. Slowing down can certainly help to save gas, and making sure that your vehicle is in tip-top performance as a result of recent maintenance, which can help to make sure that your tires are properly inflated as you go down highways to maintain an increased fuel efficiency.
So how can historically high gas prices impact your travel plans and your long-term financial goals? That's a key question to consider as you pinch pennies this summer. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure.
You're listening to Another Money Show. No, that's the name of the show, Another Money Show. And now another money-making round with JR and Anthony.
And we're back with another money show. Your hosts, Anthony Correo, JR Rochford, and that was a little snippet from Matt McClure, one of the producers. I kind of already talked about my thoughts leading into it, the travel plans and how, you know, massive gas prices increases haven't really changed anything yet. What were some of your takeaways? What did you want to talk about, JR?
Well, I noticed how Matt brought up the fact, or the person interviewed brought up the fact that we had a lot of pent up demand, you know, during the last couple of years with travel restrictions. You know, there's pent up demand. People want to get out. They want normalcy. So, you know, and that's understandable. I think if this goes on long enough and it starts cutting into discretionary income enough, it will start changing. I also think if it gets bad enough, you know, there's a threshold of pain for people, no matter what kind of pain it is. And when you charge me $5.50 a gallon, it's not, the pain level's not enough. When it gets to, I don't know if it'll be 7. I don't think so. I think it'll be 10. And, you know, there are people saying by the end of this year, you know, we are going to have food shortages. We are going to have $10 a gallon gas. You know, I mean, when it gets to $10, I think mentally that'll do it. I think people will really, I think a lot of people have to slow down, you know, depending on your job and your income and your career, it may be problematic now. We just don't hear, you know, that's not the majority, you know, and there's always going to be people with tons of money that can do whatever they want. There's always going to be people that are always restricted. And then there's the middle class. You know, we talk about the shrinking middle class. This is directly going to affect the middle class. So, and you know, when the interview talks about keeping your car in tip-top condition, you know, what does that have to do with finances? Well, I can tell you one thing, keeping your car in tip-top condition is expensive. You know, auto mechanics, auto shops, dealerships, it's expensive to keep your car going. You know, other than a basic oil change, you're looking at big money. You have to find somebody honest too. And then you have to worry about how much it's going to cost. So that affects my money. You know, buy an electric vehicle. I love, you know, there's a lot of people saying that the raise in gas prices is a little bit more intentional than not, you know, pardon me while I adjust my tinfoil hat. You know, if that's true, and this is to push us towards going green, I got a question. These electric vehicles are very expensive, right? I mean, you have to amortize. If I do a 7-year note on an EV, you know, how much extra gas could I have paid for over those 7 years? It might be a wash. The other thing is that I just heard over the last weekend was that there's these credits, these federal credits. Like if you buy a Prius or whatever, I think you can get up to a $7,500 credit. And then the story continued by saying you better hurry because they're running out of them. You know what? Right away, let me adjust my head again. Right away, I think, well, you're running out of these credits to help me go the direction you think I should go, you think is best for the country and the future of our planet, and yet you're running out of that money. But yet you just a few weeks ago gave another $40 billion to Ukraine. When are we going to see financially everything's skewed?
Yeah, well, they have no money, but when they decide that they have things they want to fund, they come up with money that they don't have, but doesn't seem to ever go to the right places.
It does not. And I don't get it. You know, and by the way, I am a compassionate individual. If there's people hurting anywhere and we have a way to help them financially, I like the idea. I just think that what this country's not seeing, we're hurting too. You know, I mean, when you look at the gas prices, there are people struggling. We don't see it in a giant proportion yet, but you know, we hear about it. Help those people. You know, what's the answer? Give them gas cards? I don't know. I don't know the answers to some of this. I just know there's a lot of problems. You know, Sam pulled up the usdebtclock.org picture again. You know, now we're at 30 trillion. We're right under 30 trillion 500 billion. So we're halfway through the 30 trillion mark now. It's hard to look at these numbers and fathom this. I wonder if there's a place that shows I don't think there is. You know, if you poke around on that site, it's really interesting. Like the more you poke around, the more you'll find. And it's not something we can understand or fathom, you know, the numbers on there. So, but back to gas prices, is this going to level off? Is it going to get worse? I mean, I don't know the answers. I don't have a crystal ball. I really do hope the powers to be don't have the answers. And this is not all, you know, contrived. I really hope that's not the case. I hope there's not that much evil in our powers to be, but I don't know. So,
but is that even your biggest concern? Because I don't think gas prices, far as me getting around in my car. I mean, yeah, I don't want to be paying what I'm paying now, but how else is that going to affect me?
Well, here's the deal. So I read another article last weekend. I'm, you know, constantly listening and reading, and it talked about diesel fuel. You know, obviously it's a lot higher right now. Well, all the trucks that bring you your food, you know, they're trucks, they're on diesel. There's something new coming out that I read, I don't know if it'll grow legs, called DEF, which is diesel exhaust fluid. And that's another one of these things that could be under the category of a black swan event. You know, we're watching Ukraine, we're watching China and Russia, we're watching gas prices, inflation, you know, wheat, we're watching all this stuff. Well, you may want to research a little bit about this DEF, because if that grows legs, one of the articles I read last night said that it literally will shut down the transportation system in this country. It will shut down the trucking industry. And you want to talk about jumping to the 10th pillar, which is civil war. You stop being able to feed people. You stop having food. You stop, you know, people can't go to the grocery store and get food. Wait for the panic. And by the way, we have solutions. You know what we should do after this break? We should talk more about solutions and less about problems. I lied. I want us both to be good rep this weekend. So let's do this. Let's take a break. We will be on the other side, and we'll talk a little bit about some things to do about all these problems. So make sure you find us at anothermoneyshow.com or email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks again for joining us.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
You're listening to Another Money Show.
Thank you again for being with us. I'm JR, and I'm with Anthony, and of course, the one and only Sam Davis. So we, before the break, we talked a little bit about gas prices and about diesel fuel and about DEF, which is a potential concern that's coming our way. You know, my mom said something when I was a kid that has always stuck with me. I'm sure she stole it from somewhere. She said, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get me. It's like, just because I am worried about everything, I'm worried about the 10 pillars, it doesn't mean I'm wrong. I mean, I may be overly worried. I may be worried about too many things, but it doesn't mean I'm wrong. So, and what I really, a lot of what I wrestle with, because I do want things to get back to somewhat normal living so we can talk about normal financial planning. I just don't think that time's right now. I really do believe if we get through this summer and the end of the year, we're going to know a lot more about what's going on. I think if we, you know, right now it's just, we have so much on the table with politics and with gas. You know, when they released the ruling on Roe versus Wade, you know, people are calling for unrest. You know, we have all this stuff. And by the way, you know, it's been about 2 weeks. I heard a little bit more about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, whoever the heck these people are, but I didn't hear anything about Roe versus Wade. It's like our attention span is so short. Our news cycle is so fast. We just move on. You know, I mean, it's amazing to me how quickly we move on.
And I don't see how you think getting through the summer, things are going to be like at what point right now, because nothing moves fast, you know, especially big changes. But what's going in the right direction? What could they turn the switch and start? All right, we're going to get this country back to good. We're going to get all these things under control. I mean, nothing's in motion. Cop.
Here comes the bad cop. I'm the good cop.
No, I mean, keep saying you're telling people to wait, you know, and then January we're no more. But I think we're just going to know more about how deep the hole is that we've got to dig ourselves out. I don't see anything getting better.
So then maybe this show is beautiful and we're going to be the ones continuing to sound the alarm and offer solutions forever. I mean, I understand. And I say that on purpose because what my big concern is, we have all these irons in the fire. It's all coming at once. You know, and let's say you're right. We get to January 1st and things are not better. Things are worse. you know, when we do start working on things, which is up to you and Sam. I mean, at my age, it's like, I've got to pass the baton to you guys. You know, I've seen what I've seen. Life was simpler. I realize it was never Mayberry or the Brady Bunch, but it wasn't like this either. It wasn't so polarized where we can't even talk and agree to disagree and still be friends. You know, there's people.
Sam said, you know, in our little break, that the two states that he's lived in his whole life have the cheapest gas. So one solution is going to be we move Sam out to Arizona, and maybe he is the deciding factor for where there's cheap gas.
Not a bad idea. Sam, what are your thoughts on inflation and food shortages too? Because if those are going all right by your house, I want you to move here for that reason too.
Hey, look, there's a short list of states that I'd be willing to live in. Those two states that Anthony was referring to was Kansas, my home state, and Georgia, the state that I live in now. Arizona's pretty high up there on the list of states I would be willing to live in. So maybe you guys
have
that.
Family out here?
We have some really good friends out there. Yeah. Oh, nice. Sure. Yeah.
And we like to think that we are now also your really good friends. We like to think we're going to have dinner when you come out here. I mean, we're going to stick you with the check, of course. This is a financial, we're financial guys.
That sounds good to me. We're not just going to have dinner. We're going to have more fun than that.
Right. So,
breakfast cocktails. Oh, breakfast beers.
So, and Anthony, before we take the next break, I want to finish up on something. You're right. And part of it is sarcasm. Part of it is just hopeful. I think things have to get worse on a bunch of fronts. And then people are going to wake up and say, hey, we're all in this together. We need to work on this. We need to find solutions. I'm hoping when everything gets worse later this summer, towards the end of the year, it wakes people up to say, you know what? We still have to care about each other. You know, we have to fix this. You know, when you get past the virus, if that resurges, the monkeypox, you know, the diesel fluid shortages, if we get past all this stuff, you know, we still have to work on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. We have all these big gorillas in the room that we have to address. So, and again, it's on you guys. I mean, you guys have to start thinking how you vote, how you interact, how you do things. And I don't have one of these feelings that millennials are not going to be able to do it. I think, I mean, I've gotten to know you more. I mean, you and your friends are really smart. So you got to have more pain until you get tired of it. Turn off the TV, get away from TikTok, and start fixing this stuff. That's what I'm.
That's where I get all my financial advice from. TikTok.
From TikTok.
What would I do without social media?
Why don't we do this? Let's take another break. Let's take a break, and then we have our last segment, and we want to talk about a listener's question, and we want to talk about some solutions and be the happy boys that we are. So we'll see you in a few minutes, and don't forget, you can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. or email your questions to team@anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks for being with us.
If those other money advisors promise you a boatload of money, check the size of the boat and be sure it's your boat, not theirs. You're listening to Another Money Show. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, you are back with Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford and Sam Davis of Another Money Show. Jer mentioned talking about, we had somebody reach out to us and ask a question, so we want to spend some time on that. But I just want to tie something together really quick. When you talk about the gas prices, the gas price itself isn't necessarily the issue. I mean, obviously nobody wants to pay $5 or $6 a gallon, but it's what that's going to do to the trucking industry that gets the food to you is going to be the issue. But Jer mentioned a long time ago, you know, one of our earlier episodes about inflation, because it's all kind of ties together inflation is terrible. You know, if a hamburger goes from $5 to $20, that's bad, but it's whether or not you can actually get the food to you. And that's kind of where inflation, gasoline prices, I mean, those are all not great things, but if it cuts down the supply chain and now all of a sudden you can't eat, or you can't drink water, you know, you don't have access to these things, you know, that's where the big issue is. So I was just thinking about that because I remember the inflation comment you made a while back, JR. And that kind of stuck with me. And I was like, well, this all kind of ties back together.
Everything we do in this show comes back to money and it all ties together. And you're right. What I was saying, I'm not worried about inflation at all, because inflation gets bad and then people get on Facebook and then they run out and buy toilet paper. If they do that with corn and spinach and peas, we're in deep trouble. So yeah, I mean, I'm more worried about inflation leading to scarcity, because then people will panic. So, and you know, I mean, everything we talked about, the housing market and whether it's a good time to buy a house. Well, you know, houses are inflated. Everybody agrees 20, 30, 40% inflated. So I'm thinking, wait till they come back down. You know, everything cycles. We'll be back to a buyer's market, not a seller's. And part of the point that people are like, yeah, but inflation, you know, the interest rates, they're rising. We went from 3 to 5%. Well, I get that, but everything ties. You know, inflation made your mortgage 5% now, which is historically amazing. Well, they just raised the prices on your bank. So yes, I mean, you know, you're going to pay more for your interest on your mortgage, but you're going to make more money in the bank. I mean, everything kind of cycles. And I yeah.
Yeah, the housing, I'm still up in the air. I mean, I still think that was a great episode. And I think those people we were referring to are a very unique situation. But, you know, if housing prices goes down 20%, that's awesome. But if the dollar goes down 30%, you're still in a worse case later down the road. So that's, I don't think it's as simple as that.
None of it is. That's the good thing about the show. That's the good thing about us talking amongst ourselves on every single case we work on. I mean, I don't know that there's any right or wrong answers on any of this stuff. Everything is so gray in the world right now and in our country and with our finances. That's why I feel like we're doing such a service. You know, again, I brought this up last week. Our show here, this is a macro view. We're talking about big picture stuff. If you want a micro view, let us sit with you. I mean, let us look at your situation. We'll try to better your situation. You know, I mean, part of my heartburn with hearing radio shows right now, it's like there's nothing wrong. And you can't ignore this. I mean, we still have to live. You know, we're going to get to solutions in a second. You still have to do certain things, but you can't ignore this. And when I listen to different advisors, they're not acknowledging the problems, the pitfalls. You know, why? I mean, is it because they're doing the right thing and they want you to be calm? They don't want to give you stress and a heart attack? Or is it because the financial model is such that they have to worry about sales? I mean, we're fully independent. We're a family practice with our name on the front door. You know, we're a different animal. We don't have the pressures and the quotas that some of these brokers do and these wirehouses. So maybe we're just in a different situation. But, you know, could there be something nefarious? You know, if all the financial advisors are still saying buy mutual funds and variable annuities and, you know, act like nothing's wrong and it's always based on your age and, you know, don't try to time the market and all this stuff. I don't know. I mean, is it because you need the sales so you can get the commission? I hope not. You know, I mean, why did we get the fiduciary rule? Because we're supposed to do what's right for people. I talk a lot about the fact that we had over a decade run up in the markets. And it's like, you know, when 2008 was here, you know, all the advisors are out there saying, don't panic. It's only a paper loss. You've only lost if you sell. Well, you just had a decade to say the reverse of that. Then I would have respected that. It's only a paper gain. You know, you haven't captured it unless you take it off the table. You know, why is it so slanted? You know, because we have to keep you invested. You know, if I sideline all your money into a money market, there's no money to be had. So nobody's happy. Everybody wants to keep you invested. I a little bit of me fears that it's more nefarious and it's more slanted towards the advisors, towards the firms, towards the companies than the individual investor. So with that little bit of negativity out of my system, why don't we go to a question I had over this past weekend? So I had a woman who asked me about her pension. She's going to retire here within the next year. And she is part of the Arizona State Retirement System. So one of the things that we talked about was it's a big, huge group plan. As you've been working, she's a teacher, as you've been teaching, you had to put money into this system. You didn't get a choice on how much. It was like, we're taking it out of your check. You can't say, no, I need my money for other things. You know, I have kids to worry about. I need my money. No, they take it because this is going to lead to my pension and I'm going to retire at 55 years of age and you have to get me through 95 years of age. So I don't want the risk. Well, they'll laugh at you. You have no say in this stuff. Well, here's my heartburn. Let's say you retire and you're getting your, let's say it's $3,500 a month. I'm just using that as a round number. So you're getting your $3,500 a month on your pension for life. Couple of the problems with this. Anthony, we led off our series of shows. We started out with talking about the public, you know, pension guarantee fund, where every city, state, federal, municipality, private companies, pensions are stressed. They're underfunded. The market volatility is great enough to where these pensions could get way worse. I mean, they really took a spanking in 2008. And, it, you know, could that happen again? So the problem, if you take a bunch of people that retire in their 50s and you have to get them to their 90s, it's a big Ponzi scheme. The younger workers, the younger teachers are putting into the system so the retirees get their money out. Well, what if the money isn't enough to pay it? You know, we've seen that. Look at Detroit. I mean, look at GM workers. You know, they gave them too much money in retirement, and that's when we were dying younger. Now we're living longer. So this could potentially be even worse. So the where we went back and forth was, she said, I'm really not worried about it because they always are going to need teachers. We're never going to be able to not have teachers. Well, I get that. So she's like, so there's always going to be an influx. Well, I get that. I'm never saying your system is going to collapse. It's going to be gone. You better get out now. All I'm saying is there a realistic possibility of your pension being cut by 20% over the next decade? And she was like, well, how can they do that? It's contractually guaranteed. It's my pension. You're not necessarily a high paid earner as a educator, but you have a good pension. And I was like, I understand that. But I think if you watch Social Security, it's on the table that they're going to cut your benefits. Why wouldn't you think that could happen at the same time with your teacher's pension? She's like, because it can't. And I'm like, well, and that's what you have to feel. I mean, you worked your whole life for this pension. Somebody like me comes by and says, well, I'm not sure you should keep it in there. You know, when she retires, she can move her pension to an insurance company. She can go from this, you know, 401k type situation to an insurance company to have a self-directed pension.
Well, I mean, ASRS is just, it's its own annuity. It's just, you don't control it. So,
but the annuity
is going from one to another.
But it's in stocks and bonds. And the thing is, I mean, if we have a big enough, bad enough market correction, could it hurt it to the point where they have to restructure it? You know, I'm told that there's teacher shortages all over the place. I'm told that we're actually in Arizona. We're recruiting teachers from the Philippines right now. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty on the table. So my thing is, if you look at the history of insurance companies, look at during the Great Depression, when insurance companies gave and loaned money to the government to keep the lights on, you know, I'm thinking there's some safety there. Oh, and then we got into healthcare because she's like, well, I'm 55. I have to get to 65, you know, till I get to Medicare age. And luckily I didn't go to that negative and say, oh yeah, Medicare is broke too. So that's going to change too. But I said, well, here's the deal. I said, what you cannot control is the cost of your insurance. You know, I mean, I've talked to this woman before about the cost of healthcare through the ASRS. It is not inexpensive. So, you know, what if you're into teaching, you know, you get retired 2 years later, they raise the cost of the health insurance to where it's really starting to eat into your ASRS pension. She's like, yeah, that I have thought about that. I don't like the idea that they can charge me whatever they want.
Didn't we have a client who's retired through ASRS just recently, turned 65? And she said, yeah, my pension check pretty much doubled because she can be on Medicare now, because so much of her payment each month was eaten away by her health insurance costs.
Yes. And I feel like that's another one of those areas it's going the wrong way. You know, healthcare is one of the pillars. So if we, you know, when we get time to address Medicare for All and what we have to do to fix the healthcare system in this country, I just have a feeling premiums are going to go up, not down. That's me. I'm also crazy. I also think taxes are going to go up, not down. So call me crazy. Anyway, so the bottom line was, you know, she did not know that there were alternatives. You know, here it is, one person, you know, she got solutions. It's like, well, I thought I had to take that. I thought I had to stay there. You do not. There are alternatives, and let's explore them. So worked out well. We've talked, you know, she's got stuff to weigh out and decide what to do, but at least she was educated on alternative ideas. So, and you know, everything, all of the negativity that I come up with every week, you know, do I think and hope we're going to get past it? I do. I think there's going to be more pain, and then there will have to be some fixing and some solutions. You know, what do we do right now? You know, we've brought up our friend Marcy that sells tower gardens. You know, you can do gardening in your home, which in Arizona is huge. You know, Sam, I don't know how beneficial that is in Georgia, but in Arizona, this is a game changer. You know, we're eating salads every night. So this is actually helping my health, our budget. You know, if there's a food shortage, we have another layer of defense. You know, next to our number 10 cans, we can have salads and beans. And Anthony, you're planting peppers and all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're starting to come in too. I'm excited. They have taken way longer than I expected. But they also said you're not supposed to grow them inside. But I'm a rebel. I do whatever.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, cucumbers. We're going to try all kinds of stuff. Anyway, so, you know, with everything going on, I mean, one of our big things is make sure you know your options. You know, we talk about insurance companies a lot for a reason. You know, when you're worried about the financial markets, when you're worried about all these things, you know, let's have solutions. So, and we want to offer that. Anybody listening to us, we've given you tons to worry about. You know, let us give you some stuff to help you. You know, our big thing, we want to help you increase the safety of your assets. We want to increase your income. We want to reduce your taxes. All the things that are good for you financially, we're still going to address those. It's just in this hour, we only have time, you know, to shed light on why you need to address this stuff, why you need to know what you own, what are the risks, what are the fees. So that's what we do here. So I think this was fun today. You know, hopefully we talked about enough to make it worth your while. We're always available. If you want to meet with us or ask us questions, our shows are always taped. You know, you can find the shows on our website, anothermoneyshow.com. You can also go to our office website and see our pictures. We're at rochfordfinancial.com. We're getting more easy to find the more things we do out there. Anyway, this was fun, and thank you so much again for joining us.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.